the Bethel Bible Baptist Church in Greenwood, South Carolina. He has been there since the beginning. He started that church back 24 years ago, I think he said, and God has blessed, and he's just been made a real difference in Greenwood. I was moved, Brother Holloway, by what you said about why you ended up there. Brother Holloway grew up in Greenwood, and growing up there, he never heard the gospel. Went to church, but never heard the gospel, and went away to Greenville, heard the gospel in Greenville. The Lord saved him and changed his life, and he said, you know, there must be a real absence of the gospel there. And he went back to his hometown and said, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring the gospel there. And I just respect that so much, somebody who had a burden for bringing the gospel back to where he grew up. And so I happen to know there's one church there in Greenville or in Greenwood that really preaches the gospel. And you've heard it this morning, and we'll hear it again tonight. So I'm just so thankful for him. He has, I believe, now, aren't you a doctor, my brother? Isn't that right? Hadn't somebody doctored you? All right. This is Dr. Holloway, and but you'll never know it. When he stepped up to the pulpit this morning, he's Pastor Holloway, and that's where his real bread and butter is, so we're just so thankful for him. And brother, I've enjoyed fellowshipping with you just a little bit here. Hope we get to do a whole lot more of that. I told him this morning, he stuck with me. I learned a long time ago, I picked my friends, and I picked you, buddy. There's no way around it. You are just my friend. When I was in high school, I got in a whole lot of trouble letting my friends pick me. And I said, I'd never make that mistake again. I pick mine. I watch them for a while, see if they'd be good friends, and I pick them. So you just pick, buddy. You don't have to live with it. But anyway, come back, preach for us again here. Brother Mike's going to lead us in another hymn. And I don't know what else he might have going on there. But when he looks like he's done, you come and preach, all right?
Well, let me begin by expressing my appreciation to Pastor Miles and this local church. I do never take it for granted when the Lord gives me an opportunity to share His Word, and never take it for granted when another pastor will allow me to grace their pulpits. And so I want to thank him, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. I do want to thank my wife as well. I appreciate her. She truly is a helpmeet to me, and I appreciate the fact that we've been married now for 33 years, and seems like 33 months, and I really thank the Lord for her support over the years. Now, I don't know how it is down here in Georgia, but in South Carolina, specifically in Greenwood, specifically at Bethel Bible Baptist Church, much to my own chagrin, I don't have as many people to come back to the evening service as I have coming to the morning service. Now, I know you all are more spiritual than those of us that are in South Carolina. But I do want to say it's good to see many of you here tonight. And I know some of you came back because you just like seeing a preacher with a tan. I understand that. But I'm glad you're back anyway. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2. 2 Kings, chapter number 2. And I know it may be a generalization, but most of the time when those people that come back to the evening service, and some of this is probably true even on Wednesday night, those are usually the people who really do have a desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to really address tonight. There's a statement that's made by
the prophet Elisha. In chapter 2, verse 9, Elisha the prophet makes a request, knowing that his predecessor, Elijah the prophet, is about ready to leave his presence. And he says in chapter 2, verse 9, "And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." He basically was saying that I want to be even more spiritual than you were. He was saying, I want to have more of God than you have. Now, truly, it would really be God getting more of him. But he was basically saying that I want to be closer to God than even you were. Now, you got to understand, Elijah called down fire from heaven. And so this is a great request. But he says, I want to have a double portion of the spirit that you have. Now, I'm not going to get into this aspect of it, but if you study this out, you'll find out that Elisha, he actually was granted this request, and he committed twice as many miracles as Elijah did. So he actually was given a double portion. And so tonight I really want to address this question. How can you and I get closer to God? How can we have more of God's Spirit, or better said, God having more of us? And so that's the path. I want to give you some things tonight that I believe led to this time where Elisha was given a double portion of the same spirit that Elijah had. Now, in order to see this, I think it actually begins back in 1 Kings chapter 19. So I want you to turn back there. There are some observations that we want to make there as it relates to how Elisha got to a point in his life where he wanted to be even closer to God than the prophet Elijah was. Now, right after Elijah has performed a great miracle there, Elijah shows his humanity and he runs, he's fleeing from Jezebel. Now, ladies, you never want to be called Jezebel. But anyway, Elijah was fleeing from Jezebel, and it had gotten to a point where not only was he fleeing for his life, but he began to think like you and I do sometimes, especially with the rampant immorality and idolatry in our time. We can begin to have a pity party thinking that we're the only ones living for God. If you notice in verse 14 of 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. In other words, I'm the only one left, God, that's serving you. And no doubt, when we see the direction of our country, when we see what our leaders are doing, when we see how some of the things that we would never have dreamed of or take place, such as same-sex marriage, I never thought I'd see today, where our country would sink so low that we would accept that as the norm. And so we too can begin to think, my goodness, are we the only ones that believe the Bible and are trying to live for God? And so God has to assure Elijah that he's not the only one. And he basically tells him that he's going to put some people in place that are going to carry the mantle once he passes off the scene. He mentions Hazael being the king in verse 15. He mentions Jehu being the leader in verse 16. And then he says also in verse 16, in the middle of that verse, he says, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholath, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So he tells him, Elijah, there is one that's going to come that you are going to anoint, that's going to take your place. And then he reassures Elijah in verse 18. He says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Can I say to you, Crooked Creek, you are not the only one that still believes the Bible. There's still some other churches. There's still some other preachers. Some you know and some you don't know that are still holding true to this book. There are still those that have not bowed to Baal. We may be in the minority, but with God we have the majority. And so he tells him there are others that have not bowed. And so in verse 19, we began to see the process whereby I believe that Elisha grows closer to God. The Bible says in verse 19, so he departed thence, talking about Elijah, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. The first step, or the first way, I believe that you and I can grow closer to God, is first of all, we must be faithful in doing the little thing. When Elijah found Elisha, the only thing that he was doing was just plowing some oxen. A very menial job, a job with no notoriety, a job that nobody really would give any credence to. I mean, it was just a common, everyday job, but we find that Elisha was faithfully doing his job. Almost like David out there minding those sheep. A lot of people want to be closer to God, but they're not faithful doing the little thing. And so if you're going to get closer to God, you first of all must be faithful in what you're doing right now. If you are a janitor, if you are an usher, if you pick up children on the bus, if you clean the church or if you cut the grass, you ought to be faithful in what you're doing right now if you want to get closer to God. Matthew 25 tells us, and I won't turn there. Well, I think I will turn there. You can turn there if you want to. I'm not going to be there long. I just want to read this because I don't think I could state it any better than what the Bible says, Matthew 25, verses 21 through 23, the Bible says this, Matthew 25, verses 21 through 23. He says this, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord has said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So if you and I are going to grow closer to God, I believe, first of all, we must be faithful in doing the little things. And I don't know about you, Pastor Miles, but having been in the ministry now for many years, I've come to appreciate people who are faithful in doing the little things. And what I've observed over the years is those that were faithful doing the little things, the things that nobody else saw, are usually the ones that God uses to do great things. And so, number one, if I want to grow closer to God, I'm going to have to be faithful in doing the little things. And so, back to 1 Kings chapter 19, we see that he found him plowing those yoke of oxen. And then the Bible says, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. In verse 20, the Bible says, and he left the oxen. Number two, if you are going to grow closer to God, you must be willing to leave the position or vocation or service that you're in presently. You must be willing to leave your comfort zone. You must be willing to leave what you're familiar with. You must be willing to leave what you've grown accustomed to. The Bible says, and remember, we would have never gotten to a point where Elisha was asking Elijah for a double portion of his spirit if this hadn't occurred. And so we see that he had to, first of all, he was willing to leave the oxen. No doubt, I noticed your board back there. You support a lot of missionaries. You probably heard a lot of missionaries. And I can almost guarantee you in every instance, as somebody was pursuing God and got closer to God, there was a time in their life where they had to be willing to leave what they were doing and what they were accustomed to. I personally, after I graduated from a secular college, I had gotten a degree in biology, and it really my desire was to go to medical school. But in the interim, I got employed as a manager with the telephone company. Back then, it was called AT&T, and it's come full circle now. But anyway, I was employed as a manager with them. But there came a time once I got saved and God began to call me into the ministry, and I knew he was calling me, even where he wanted me to minister, I began to pursue Bible school, and I went there at night and worked during the day. But there came a time where I had to be willing to leave the company that I was working for. That meant I was willing to leave the 401k. I was willing to leave the matching funds. I was willing to leave the great retirement program. I was willing to leave the salary that I was making. Matter of fact, Brother Tom, I'm still not making now what I was making 25 years ago. But God has taken care of me. He's allowed me to do things even if I had stayed with the company, I don't think I would have ever been able to do. You know, I've been able to go to Hawaii for three times, and I've never paid for a trip yet. But my point is, if you're going to get closer to God, you have got to be willing to leave your current position. You've got to be willing to leave what you're comfortable with. And so the Bible says in verse 20, and he left the ox and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. The third thing you have to be willing to do if you're going to grow closer to God is you must be respectful of those in authority over you. before Elisha was used by God, before he left to do the work of God, the Bible says he went back to kiss his father and his mother. In other words, I think that was an act of showing them reverence and respect for all that they had done for him, for the fact that they had gotten him to the place that he presently was in. And I believe that if you're going to grow closer to God, you must be respectful of those that have been in authority over you. I believe there's a premium that comes with honoring your father and your mother, honoring your pastor, honoring your grandparents, honoring your Sunday school teacher, honoring your teachers, and honoring those that are in authority over you. I believe that God blesses individuals that show respect to authority. I don't really believe that God will use a young man that doesn't show respect to his father. I don't believe God will use a young lady that doesn't respect her mother. You see, this matter of showing deference and respect to those that are in authority over you, I believe that's God ordained. One of the problems in our society today is there's a breakdown as it relates to respect and authority. That's why I think it seems like epidemic that we have today as it relates to the policemen and the people. I believe that level of authority, respect that was once there, has been broken down. And we're suffering as a result of that. Pastor Miles, I really believe that, in my mind, probably one of the reasons why, you see, everything that God said the devil is against. If you read your Bible, you'll see that police officers and those in law enforcement and those governmental officials, those people are referred to in Romans 13 as ministers. Ministers. And so everything that God is for, the devil is going to make sure he tries to destroy. And I believe that's really what's behind this attack on authority in our country. So if we're going to grow closer to God, number one, we have to be faithful at doing the little things. Number two, we have to be willing to leave our position or our vocation. Number three, we must be respectful of those that are in authority over us. And number four, if we continue to read in this verse, the Bible says this: and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Now, in my estimation, this was an act of devotion. It was an act of giving a sacrifice, not only to God, but also to the people. And so this was a way of saying that now I'm getting ready to go down another path, and I'm publicly making it known to everybody else that from henceforth I am going to serve God. In other words, it was an act of dedication. And I believe that if you're going to grow closer to God, you're going to have to be willing, number four, to dedicate your life to God. There must be a mindset in that I'm going this route and I'm not turning back. That act of dedication for you might take place right here at this altar, where God so burdens your heart that you make a sacrifice of yourself. Remember, the Bible says that we are to be living sacrifices. Elisha, he offered up this sacrifice to publicly make it known, from henceforth, I am going to serve God. Have you done that yet? Has there ever been a moment in your life, a time in your life, where you dedicated yourself to the service of God? Even as I'm preaching this, I can almost take you to the spot and the place. Some 32 years ago. Despite the internal fighting that went on. You know, I fought with it. My flesh fought with it. I knew if I dedicated my life totally to God, I knew what the ramifications might be. I knew that it would involve a total, drastic change of lifestyle. I knew that. But God was able to give me grace to bow myself and dedicate myself and say, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. That's basically what Elisha was doing. He slew this animal as a way of publicly saying goodbye and the fact that he was leaving all that he knew to now follow God. I say to you, if you're going to grow closer to God, you must be willing to dedicate, offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. There must be an act of dedication. Some call it placing it all on the altar. Some call it a matter of total consecration. Doesn't matter what you call it, but if you're going to grow closer to God, you're going to have to do it. And then number five, if you are going to grow closer to God, notice what the verse continues to say. After he gave unto the people and they did eat, the Bible says, then he arose and went after Elijah. And notice this, don't miss this, and ministered unto him. If you are going to grow closer to God, you must be willing to be a servant. The Bible says that once Elisha dedicated himself, he then began to minister. The word minister means to serve. He wasn't somebody that then was in a position to tell Elijah what to do. No, he now was in a position to serve Elijah. Whatever Elijah needed, Elisha was willing to do it. His attitude was, I'm here to serve you. I don't know how we got to this place, but we've almost taken the mindset of the world and brought it into the church. You see, the world tells you the more important you are, the more people will be serving you. But the mindset in the church, no. The more important you are, the more people you will serve. As it relates to your position. You see, Elisha now is serving Elijah. He's not looking for the limelight. He's not looking to make a name for himself. He's not looking for the accolades of people. The thing that he is dedicating his life to is serving. I'm reminded of what Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45 say. If you want to look at it, you can. I'm not going to be there long. But I want to read these verses, Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, and it reflects the mindset that not only is found in Elijah, but it's found in Paul, it's found in Moses, it's found in any godly leader. Mark chapter 10, and it's certainly found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting with verse number 42 of Mark 10, he said, but Jesus called them unto him and said unto them, now notice this, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. You see, the CEO of the company has all these people under him. He's the boss. He's the most important. That's the way it is among the Gentiles, those that don't know God. But notice what Jesus says about his kingdom. He says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. He'll be your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, I'm talking about being close to God tonight, shall be servant of all. If you are not willing to serve, you will never be close to God. And then Jesus himself, notice the commentary, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. In other words, if Jesus Christ was willing to serve, how about you and me? Was Jesus Christ not close to the Father? Well, if he was close to the Father, guess what? He was close because he was willing to serve others. And so if I'm going to grow closer to God, just look around and see, who am I serving? The Bible says about Elisha that he ministered unto him. He left what he was doing so that he could serve Elijah. But remember, none of what we read in 2 Kings chapter 2, where he asked for a double portion of God's Spirit, none of that would have happened if 1 Kings chapter 19 hadn't occurred. He never would have gotten closer to God if what took place in chapter 19 hadn't occurred. So again, if we're going to grow closer to God, we must first of all be faithful in doing the little things. And I'm purposely being repetitious here. I hope you're writing these down. But if you want to get closer to God, you're going to first of all have to be faithful in doing the little things. Number two, you're going to have to be willing to leave your position or your vocation or your comfort zone. Number three, you're going to have to be respectful of those in authority over you. Number four, you're going to have to be willing to dedicate your life to God as a living sacrifice. And number five, you're going to have to be willing to be a servant. Now I want to give you two more, and I want you to turn back to 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha is now following the prophet Elijah. And by the time we get to chapter 2, time has elapsed, and the word has already gotten around that God is going to take Elijah from the presence of the people. The sons of the prophets had heard about it. Everybody had heard that. Did you hear that God is going to remove the prophet Elijah from among us? And so because of that, chapter 2, verse 1, I want to call your attention to several incidents. In verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah, it was common knowledge, into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, I'm not going to get into this a whole lot, but I do believe that the taking of Elijah up in a whirlwind is a type of the rapture of the church. Who knows, church? It could happen before I finish preaching. One day, we're going to all be taken up together. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. All of us are not going to go by way of the graveyard. Some are just going to be taken up. Like Enoch, and was not anymore. And so we find that Elisha hears that Elijah is going to be taken up. And so Elijah is moving to the city of Gilgal. And notice what Elijah tells Elisha. He says, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth," notice this, "I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Elijah admonished him to leave him. He said, "I need to go down to Bethel." And Elisha said, "Hey, I'm going with you." And he went with him. And then, if you notice in verse 4, "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. So he went to a different place, and the prophet Elijah admonished him again. "Elisha, stay here. I need to go to Jericho." And Elisha said, "I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you." If that were not enough, if you look at verse 6, "And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." He tried to get him to stay again, and he wouldn't stay. He said, "I'm going where you go." You said, "Preacher, why do you make this point?" I make this point to illustrate, if you are going to get closer to God, you must be willing to stay close to the people of God. If you want to get closer to God, you must stay close to the people of God. That's why it's important to be at Sunday morning worship. That's why it's important to be at Sunday evening worship. That's why it's important to be at Wednesday night Bible study. That's why it's important to be with the preacher and others on visitation. You need to hang around the people of God. Every person that I know of that's backslid, which really the New Testament, the word backslidden is not in the New Testament. It's a matter of disobedience for us. But every Christian that I know that went back into the world like Demas, or left the church, or got back into secularization and the secularism, what happened to them is they stopped hanging around the people of God. It's almost like, and you've heard this analogy before, how the lion, he prowls the sheep or the wolf, whichever predator you want to name. And as long as those sheep are together, the wolf or the lion will just sit back. He's watching the sheep. But eventually what happens is some sheep will start getting a little farther from the rest of the flock. And they're looking, waiting on an opportunity to pounce. But they can't do it until the sheep is all by himself. As long as he was with the shepherd and the rest of the flock, he was safe. But when he got out here on his own, that's when the wolves devoured. You see, if you're going to get closer to God, you're going to have to stay around the people of God. young people, when you get 17 or 18 and it's now time possibly to go off to college. Maybe you're going to go off to UGA and you're going to live on campus. Or maybe you're going to go off to some other school. Or maybe you're going to go into some secular employment. And now you can't get to church as often as you once did. Now you're no longer around the people of God like you used to be. You're no longer hearing the preaching of God's word on a consistent, regular basis. And that's usually when we lose a lot of young people. That's when they begin to question their faith, question their church, question their parents. You know why? Because now they're no longer around the people of God. They're no longer under the roof of their parents' home. And that's when the wolves and the lions can devour the sheep. You're going to get close to God. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go off to college, but you better find a good Bible-believing church and some people that love God that you can associate with. Otherwise, my friend, danger lurks. Danger lurks, young people, when you get away from the people of God. If Elijah, if he had said, okay, Elijah, I'll stay right here. I won't go with you. We're going to find out. He never would have had an opportunity to get a double portion of Elijah's spirit. In order to get that double portion, let's see what he had to do. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, and that the two went over on dry ground. I mean, God, the power of God is being manifested throughout Elijah's life. I mean, he takes the mantle and he parts the Jordan River. I'm talking about the power of God being on the life of a man. And the Bible says in verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Now remember, none of what we've talked about would have occurred if Elisha had not been willing to do those six things that we've already discussed. He says, and Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. The seventh and last thing that you and I are going to have to do if we are going to grow closer to God, if we must be willing to expect great things from God. We must be willing to expect. We must say, God, you really can do this. He asked him, he said, I want a double portion of the spirit that's on Elijah. And we just saw Elijah part the Jordan River. And he said, I want a double portion. In other words, my goodness, we would say, my goodness, you ask something like that? You really think God can give you a double portion? And this man just parted the Jordan River. If you're going to get closer to God, you must believe that God can do great things in your life. I think that's one of the reasons we don't see God do a lot in our lives today. We don't expect God to do anything. You ought to expect great things from God. When I left AT&T, some of my coworkers told me, I had four children. The oldest one was only 8. And I guess my youngest one at that time was probably about one. A lot of my coworkers told me, you're going to starve. What are you doing? You're going to leave your job and you got four children? And you're going to leave your job? They thought I was crazy. They thought I would never be able to feed my children. Well, it ought to be obvious to you, I had missed many meals. All five of my children are pretty much grown now. My youngest one, she's a rising junior in college. I'll be rid of her in about 2 years. But God, church, has taken care of my wife and I. He's taken care of my family. But it all goes back to the day June the 28th, I believe it was, where I walked off or I left my job believing that God would take care of me. My youngest girl, she's named Grace. And the reason why she's named Grace is when I left the job, I lost my health insurance. And it was not long after that, my wife found out that she was pregnant with our fifth child. And we had no health insurance. And I'm wondering, how are we going to pay for this? But Brother Tom, about 6 months before my wife was due, I got a letter in the mail from the telephone company. And they told me, Mr. Holloway, we failed to inform you, and because of the way you left, we failed to inform you that we're going to offer you the, at that time it was called the COBRA program. And we've extended it for 3 years from the time that you left the company. And my wife, our little girl, she came in December, and the coverage ran out in January. So the company that I wasn't even working for paid for my baby. That's why she's called Grace. But you have to be willing to believe that God can do some great things in your life. See, we Christians, we serve too small of a God. Do you not realize the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God? And so, if you're going to grow closer to God, somewhere in your life, you're going to have to exercise some faith. You're going to have to believe that God can do what others think He can't do. And so, notice, and we'll be finished. In verse 10, it says, after Elisha made this request, the Bible says, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Now, when he said you've asked a hard thing, what he's really saying is you have made a great request. What you have asked for is a great thing. He says, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. He said, now if you see me, when God takes me out of here, you'll have your request. Now remember, if he hadn't stayed close to Elijah, he never would have seen what was about to happen. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And because he was hanging around, young people remember this, because he was hanging around God's people, he saw what happened. But don't let the devil trick you and tell you that church is not important. You don't need to be around here. There are other things you could be doing on Sunday evening. Remember, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You need to hang around God's people. Because he was hanging around, he saw this happen. The Bible says in verse 12, and Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. In other words, he saw it. And remember what his request was. And Elisha, I just believe, wanted to know whether God was going to do what he said. Because in the next verse he says, he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. You know why he did that? Remember what Elijah had just done, how he had parted the Jordan River? And I believe Elisha, just out of curiosity, wanted to see if the God of Elijah was his God. The Bible says in verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. The same God that was with Elijah is now the same God that's with Elisha. He parted the waters and he went over on dry land. I wonder tonight, do you want to get closer to God? Do you want to be more spiritual? Do you want to see God do greater things in your life than maybe he's done in those that you admire? What are you expecting from God tonight? Number one, you must be faithful in doing the little things. Number two, you must be willing to leave your position or your vocation. Number three, you must be respectful to those in authority. Number four, you must be willing to dedicate your life to God. Number five, you must be willing to be a servant. Number six, you must be willing to stay close to the people of God. And number seven, you must be willing to expect great things from God. How spiritual, how close to God do you want to be? All heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. I hope tonight God will find you at this altar because you want to be closer to God. Brother Tom.